Talk Central is brought to you by BlackBerry.
Hi, this is Diplo. I'm just out there mixing ideas and mixing up different genres. I can't believe that people are actually paying me to travel across the world and build new sounds, different artists. The BlackBerry Torch makes it simple because I'm always staying in touch with everybody, whether it's using Twitter applications or Facebook. A lot of these guys, I have a closer relationship now because I'm constantly on BBM talking to them.
Pop.
I love what I do. And a BlackBerry Torch helps me do it.
Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. Episode 32. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Candace Jones. Hi, Candace.
Good afternoon.
So a couple of days just to go until our first pub quiz.
Indeed.
Looking forward to that.
I'm quite excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We've got a full house coming. It's this coming Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at the Baron on Main in Bryanston. And it's going to be a good evening. Aki Anastasiou, the quiz master for the evening, and we've got some great prizes, and we're hoping we should hear by Monday morning of a extra special prize which we're going to be giving away. So
you don't want to miss out on this one.
Definitely don't want to miss out on this quiz. Although if you haven't signed up yet, I'm afraid it's too late.
Too late for you.
But Candace, we said we'd drop a couple of hints about some of the questions for the loyal listeners of this podcast.
Indeed, we did.
So you might want to do a bit of reading about the history of Microsoft. And maybe you want to brush up a little bit about Douglas Adams' famous Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series of books.
Yes, good hints. Very good hints.
Great. Well, let's get on to this week's news. And a story we've broke this morning is about Alan Knott Craig, the former group CEO of Vodacom, who is plotting his return to the telecommunications industry.
Well, it can't come soon enough. He was certainly an exciting character to keep track of as a journalist during his time as head of Vodacom.
Yes. Now, he's not giving much away at this stage. He says he's going to spend the next year thinking about exactly how he's going to approach the industry again. He has been under a restraint of trade. According to Vodacom's 2010 annual report, his restraint expired at the end of last month. But when I chatted with Alan Knott Craig this morning, he indicated to me that there are some aspects to the restraint which only end in March 2012. So he's still got a year left before he can really make a full go again at the telecommunications industry. But his intention is to come back. And, you know, he's had some health problems in the past. He's had a number of heart attacks, but apparently he's in very good health, according to the people I've spoken to him who know him. And he's rearing to get going, and he's talking about getting involved in fiber and wireless broadband.
Oh, it's a business to get involved in now. You know, i3 Africa is on their way with fiber. Dark Fiber Africa doing a lot of work. Bringing more fiber to this country, you can't go wrong.
Yes. So it's going to be fascinating to see what exactly he has up his sleeve. Mm. I suspect he's still formulating his ideas. But yeah, it's good to have him back in the industry. He's certainly talented, and he did a lot of good work at Vodacom over the years in building that organization. It is the biggest cellular network in the country, even though there were two licenses issued at roughly the same time, Vodacom and MTN. He built it into the biggest network operator in the country, and it'll be good to see what he can do at a second attempt in what admittedly is a much more competitive market now than when Vodacom was launched.
Absolutely.
But interesting guy, and certainly not shy of expressing an opinion.
Also not shy of taking a risk and taking chances. I mean, he did that so many times at Vodacom. And if any of you have read his book, his biography, you'll know that a lot of the chances that he took just happened to pay off really well. But a risk taker, and definitely one worth having back in industry.
Yeah. And so, and as you said, Candace, for us journalists, he's also great interview material.
Indeed, he is.
Because he doesn't hold back in his views. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that space and bringing you the developments around Alan Knott Craig and his plans as they happen. Speaking of mobile or telecommunications, there's quite an interesting spat developing now between Cell C and Vodacom, as you know, unless you've been living under a rock over the last couple of weeks. Vodacom has rebranded to Red. and have and they've been plastering radio, television, billboards, internet, you name it. Vodacom is everywhere at the moment, rebranding under the Vodafone brand image, red and white, that teardrop logo. I'm not sure what they call it, but we call it the teardrop logo.
Well, we came up with a cool idea for it on the way to the big function that they held last week. We're calling it the Vodacomma.
Vodacomma, that's very clever. That's very clever. I still maintain it looks like a meteorological symbol you see on a weather map representing a hurricane, but...
We still have no idea what it's called.
Anyway, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about Cell C's very cheeky advertising campaign, which they have launched. Which actually started on Google. If you typed Vodacom Red into Google, and I'm sure that's still the case, it would bring up anti-Vodacom ads and pro-Cell C ads. For example,
I think one said,
if you see a red stop, and click through to the Cell C website, and is your cell phone provider making you see red? Click here for more. That sort of thing.
It's quite cheeky.
It's very cheeky, and I love comparative advertising. Unfortunately, it's banned under the rules of the industry's Advertising Standards Authority. But there have been cases where companies have pushed it in the past. I think the classic case was BMW back, I think, in the late 80s even, or maybe not early 90s.
It was 90s, early
90s,
yeah.
When they had that famous... that famous ad on Chapman's Peak,
yes,
in Cape Town,
yes.
With the payoff line, beat the Benz. BMW beats the Benz, or something like that.
You joke. The guy who actually went off the edge of Chapman's Peak, because it's based on a true story, he's a friend of the family, was a friend of the family.
Oh, really?
He introduced my parents.
And did he die in that accident?
No, he didn't.
Oh, okay.
He was the only person not to, in fact.
Oh, wow. Quite interesting. Great story. But yeah, that if I recall correctly, and it was so long ago, that advertising campaign landed BMW in a lot of trouble.
It did.
But also got them some great publicity.
Well, you see a lot of that kind of thing, especially among car manufacturers. And it's quite nice to see sort of the telecoms providers sort of taking a dig at each other. Although I think that the latest ad that we'll play in a bit might have been a little bit one step too far for Cell C.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you go to the US and watch television in the US, the comparative advertising there is unbelievable. They don't hold back. They just name each other competitors, and they'll put up this one and they'll say, well, this is rubbish because of this and this. I think Oracle was famous for it when comparing against a database company called Infomix. They used to put up these direct comparisons and show why the Oracle database is better than the Infomix database. But you go to you watch television adverts in the US, and it's just comparative advertising all the time, putting each other down. Sometimes it's fun, but sometimes it gets a bit much. I don't know why the ASA bans it personally, but
from what I understand, the really good thing that's come out of not being able to do comparative advertising in South Africa is that it has really sparked some good innovation in South African advertising. I mean, a lot of the ads you see in the US are literally that, just a mudslinging session.
Yes.
Whereas in South Africa, you have things like there was a VW Polo ad which sort of ran on a Friday and got pulled on the Monday, dissing BMW. Was it the other way around? I can't remember. But you never name names, and it's always very just smart, innovative ideas instead of direct naming. And I think that's quite interesting and fun.
Mm.
It doesn't always go down well.
Yeah. So we don't know how Vodacom's going to react to this. I suspect this will end up at the Advertising Standards Authority.
I suspect so too.
but we'll watch the space. There is actually a very interesting news angle around this whole issue, which we'll have up on the site shortly. I'd give it away in this podcast, but our competition listens to the show, so we can't be too we can't be too detailed. But we'll have that story up on Tech Central soon around the Cell C Vodacom advertising spat and what that's all about. So look out for that.
Mm.
Great. We're going to play the ad. I almost forgot. So the first ad in this, what is apparently a series from Cell C, shows their so-called chief experience officer, the comedian Trevor Noah, walking along beside a car that's half spray-painted red, and the other half is clearly hasn't been touched up yet, and it's still in the old green and blue colours. He makes some. Let's play the ad, and you can hear what he says. But he walks across to a brand new, I think it's a Porsche. Beautiful looking black Porsche, of course, being Celsius colors, but makes some disparaging comments. But take a listen to this.
Recently, a 17-year-old cell network changed their colors. Nice. But what's actually under the hood? The engine that drives Cell C is its leading and completely new HSPA Plus 900 MHz network, voted best in the country. Because it takes more than a lick of paint to be SA's number one network, don't you think?
Very cheeky indeed. I suspect that half of Vodacom's problem is that Cell C is claiming to be South Africa's number one cell phone network.
Quite possibly. So I don't know where they're going to find the documentation for that one.
Yeah, I think Cell C probably phrased that quite carefully. But yeah, proving that you're the number one network is going to be very difficult because, well, metric do you base it on?
Yeah.
If you're basing it purely on speed, then Cell C is probably the best network right now,
data wise.
But if you're basing it on network coverage, I would guess Vodacom is the biggest.
Or if you're basing it on the number of customers,
then Vodacom is definitely the biggest.
There's any number of metrics you can use for that, but it's definitely a bold statement by Celsi.
It's very cheeky, and if I was Vodacom, I'd be as hacked off as all hell because they're spending 400 million rand on this conversion to red, and here's this little, well, they're not little, but here's this cheeky, it's a much smaller cell phone operator coming along and in many respects undermining the goodwill that Vodacom is trying to build up through this massive investment.
Well, I think that Vodacom would do far better than to go to the ASAs to actually produce a cheeky ad retort.
that could degenerate pretty quickly. Because you just know Lars Reifeldt as well, so you will retaliate with another ad.
But it's fun, and it's good to see good humor coming out. But let's see what response comes up.
Also, I don't think Vodacom will respond because I think they'd want to be seen to be above the fray and not entertaining the jibes from a smaller competitor.
Let's see.
But it'd be fun if they did. I mean, it would be fantastic if there was an advertising war that broke out between Cell C and Vodacom, but I can't see it happening.
You'd have us journalists glued to the TV screens.
Cell C would love to provoke a reaction out of Vodacom, but I actually really can't see it happening. I think Peter Ace, the CEO of Vodacom, is probably a little conservative, but perhaps a little too business-minded for that. Let's put it that way.
It's quite possible.
Yeah. Right, Candace, you've spent the last two solid days sitting in smoky, packed rooms.
Indeed.
At ICASA,
yes.
Listening to, not hearings, but insights from ICASA, called the meetings to get insights on the so-called digital dividend spectrum. Before you start to talk about that, just tell us what the digital dividend is again.
Well, basically, the digital dividend is the spectrum that will become available when television broadcasters migrate from broadcasting in analog to broadcasting in digital. It's a lot of spectrum, about between 300 and 400 megahertz of spectrum, depending on how you measure it. Obviously, a lot being a relative term, depending on what you want to do with it. So that's the digital dividend. And over the last 2 days, companies and government institutions and people from all walks of life have been presenting to the regulator to give their views on how this digital dividend should be divvied up when it becomes available. Now, we have two basic camps at this point, and it's seriously set to go to a mud fight. We have the telecommunications providers on one hand who want to roll out LTE networks in the 800 megahertz and possibly below frequency ranges, and then there are the broadcasters who are hoping that at least some of the spectrum will be held back for additional multiplexes. Multiplex is a chunk of spectrum that the broadcasters use to broadcast on, so that new entrants can come into the market. And
so there's going to be this it's almost like a tug of war with a line in the spectrum, if you will.
Indeed.
And they're going to be pulling in each other in opposite directions, trying to get as much access to spectrum as they possibly can.
Yes. And this is a very, very important discussion right now, because in 2013, December 2013, South Africa is hoping to have migrated out of the band which we're calling 800, which is about 790 and upwards, which the broadcasters are using at the moment,
up to about 850, I think, which is where GSM starts.
856, I think that's correct. Yeah. And then the decision has to be made on how the spectrum will be assigned, who gets hold of it, who gets to use it, how are we going to divvy it up, and are we going to auction it? These decisions have to be made now. In countries like France, for example, it took 4 years to decide how the digital dividend will be divvied up and how it would be auctioned. And they're going to auction this year sometime. And it'll be interesting to see what they've decided and how they've decided to split it up.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't give a damn about television. Just give us the broadband.
Well, there are a range of discussions. Broadband, definitely. And there are discussions around whether or not broadcasters are being realistic, because a lot of people are saying that convergence is going to push broadcasters more and more, specifically terrestrial broadcasters, more and more to IP. And that can be run over a very fast high-speed networks like LTE. So why not give the broadband the option, the priority, and let broadcasting go over that? But then I did speak to Karen Willenberg, the regulatory head at MNET, afterwards, and she reckons that true convergence for broadcasting will only happen within 20 or 50 years from now in this country. And she says that specifically looking at rural areas, you can't just pull out of the rural areas because you now want IP as your primary means. So there's got to be access in those areas before they can even consider it.
I can imagine a future where there's no need for terrestrial broadcasting.
Well, that's exactly what the argument is. And a lot of the network equipment providers, people like Ericsson and Motorola, were saying that convergence is here and it's coming. And let's look at it that way. Give the spectrum to the broadband providers. Because convergence is here.
Yes.
The broadcasters are not so sure about that.
Although at the moment, wireless is not far from being a good way of delivering television content.
But with a capacity of up to 100 megabits per second, still, LTE could possibly produce that.
Still, I think that IPTV is going to be delivered over fiber and maybe copper, just because of its reliability and the guaranteed throughput, and you're not going to overload the network. I suspect that we're not going to see television services on LTE, not in the initial phases anyway.
But Centec did bring up an interesting point, that having being able to have access to both levels of spectrum, being a broadcasting player as well as a potential broadband player, is that Centec could pave the way for proper convergence in that space.
You're right.
Well, we'll see. It's definitely an important discussion, one that must stay on the agenda. And the sooner we find out how we're going to split up the digital dividend, the better. Basically, what we're looking at the moment is that everything over 790 megahertz is guaranteed protected spectrum for for telecoms providers. And at the moment, we just don't know what's going to happen with everything from 470 upwards.
Could you imagine Centec and InfraCo being merged and possibly bringing in the plans of I3 Africa and putting in Eleanor Craig in charge of all of that?
Wow. Big statement. And definitely not a bad plan.
I don't think that's what he's got planned.
No, I don't think so.
No.
But all right. Wow, interesting idea.
Candice, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like movies and popcorn.
Shh.
But you can talk. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and Vox-to-Vox calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast from the editors at techcentral.co.za. Candice, just two last things to talk about this week. Local loop unbundling, there's been some interesting developments there, and we got exclusive news on that. Neotel has lodged a formal complaint against Telkom at ICASA, which could potentially speed up the whole process of local loop unbundling, or providing or really opening up the last mile of Telkom's copper network to competitors. Just tell us what Neotel has done and why they're doing it.
Well, basically what Neotel has done is they've requested access to two exchanges of Telkom, one I think in Sydenham, the other one in Rosebank. And they've done this using a set of regulations ratified by the regulator last year called facilities leasing. Facilities leasing essentially governs the essential facilities, which are things like undersea cables, and local loop has been included as an essential facility in the Electronic Communications Act. These facilities are required for telecoms operators to provide services to customers. So you need access to these things to do this.
So in other words, what they're hoping is that they can use these particular regulations rather than waiting for ICASA to develop, go through the whole long process of developing a special set of regulations for local loop unbundling.
Yes.
And therefore force the issue now, because yes, these regulations exist, whereas the unbundling regulations don't exist.
And I think what ICASA is hoping is that the unbundling regulations won't have to be regulations as such, but more like clarification. Under facilities leasing, this is what you have access to. This is what you are allowed to have access to. I think that's pretty much what they're hoping to achieve through this.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is that Neotel lodged this off the back of a story we broke, I think, last year, with ICASA saying that facilities leasing is enough in terms of regulatory requirements to request access to the local loop. And Neotel was always going to be the first trial of these regulations to test whether or not this local loop idea using facilities leasing will be feasible or not.
Yeah.
It will be interesting how this plays out now.
It's going to be heard by the CCC, which sounds very communist. The Complaints, ICASA Complaints and Compliance Committee.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It should be interesting.
Have we got a date on that yet?
Not yet. We sort of jumped the gun a little, and as from what I understand, Telkom was not aware of the complaint when we went to print with our documentation.
With the Neotel documents.
Yes, ICASA had not yet processed the complaint to its full, so they hadn't notified Telkom of the complaint yet.
ICASA, you need to be faster.
To be fair, it was only a week afterwards. So.
A week is a long time.
But
a journalist gets hold of some documentation, it'll be up in 10 minutes.
Telkom sent, I think, what might have been a deliberately ambiguous comment to us when we requested a comment on how they feel about this whole issue. Basically saying that they had responded to Neotel and would respond to ICASA in kind if they were so called. So we can't say whether or not they would say to ICASA the same thing that they've told Neotel, which is facilities leasing is not local loop unbundling, so you can't ask us for this access. Mm. They might say the same thing to ICASA, but we'll have to wait and see.
Mm. Sounds like typical Telkom lawyer speak.
Indeed.
Cool. Before we sign off this week, nice short show. I just wanted to talk a little bit about my interview this week. It was this week with Brian Armstrong, who basically runs Telkom Business. Interesting presentation at the Hilton Hotel in Sandton, where he was talking about Telkom's plans in the business side, and they really seem to be putting a lot of emphasis on that. They've got 400,000 business customers that sit under this division, so it's a very important part of Telkom's business. And Brian Armstrong, I think he used to work at BT, very smart guy, and he's talking about really improving the side of Telkom's business. And he sort of went through what all their plans are in this regard, and in the Q&A, in the one-on-one interview afterwards, I spoke to him a bit about Telkom and a bit about ADSL and fiber to the home, and got some interesting responses from him. He said that that ADSL uncapped is not on the cards, at least in the short or medium term, from Telkom.
Which is a surprise.
Which is a surprise, because we'd been hearing that Telkom uncapped was actually on the way. Perhaps they've had a change of heart.
But not just that. So it's a year down the line since all their competitors have provided the service.
Yeah. Well, not all of them, but most of them. Certainly their biggest rival to Telkom Internet, which is MWeb. And MWeb seems to be making hay out of the situation. They claim they're making a profit out of it. So I'm really surprised that Telkom hasn't responded in kind. They made some comments about, only 3% of people on their 9 gigabyte capped options exceeding their cap. But I think that's I don't think that's a smart argument, because obviously if you know there's a cap, you're going to be very cautious about how you use your bandwidth.
Exactly.
So the fact that only 3% of people get capped or have to end up buying additional bandwidth because they've used up their 9 gig cap doesn't mean that people don't want to use the service. It means that they're deliberately not using the service because they know that the cap exists. So they're not using the internet to its full potential.
But, I mean, that was MWeb's argument when it came to the market, is that people use internet in this way now because of the cap, and they will use the internet in this way tomorrow because it's uncapped.
It was very surprising, and I think it's a mistake by Telkom. It's their old way of thinking. But Brian Armstrong came across and said that that this was really a new Telkom and a new way of thinking, and they wanted to go from, you know, becoming seen as the incumbent to being seen as the market leader. But being so restrictive in terms of ADSL capping smacks of old monopoly mindset and, incumbent mindset, not of a market leader. So I'd suggest that they have some way to go in terms of their thinking around approaching the market. They should introduce uncapped ADSL. If they did, they could probably clean up the market. So their competitors are probably breathing a sigh of relief, actually. but in a market where they still have 5 gig caps and 9 gig caps, that belongs to yesteryear. It doesn't belong in the modern internet era. If they're going to cap, then I'd suggest that they look at the sort of capping that you see in markets like Australia and the US, where people get 250 gigabyte a month caps or 500 gigabyte a month caps, which stop the absolutely aggressive downloaders but don't punish other users. But a nine gig cap, which I think is their higher top end consumer offering, is not good enough.
It just doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, even if Telkom pushed it to 50 gig, 50 to 100 gig, that would be great. That's a good start.
Yeah.
But they're not even looking at that at the moment.
They're not. They have increased the caps, but, it's not commensurate with the growth in internet, especially the growth of video online.
And that's going to boom over the next 2 years.
And people on these packages don't... The fact is they're not using the internet to full effect. I know my parents are like this because they're on a Telkom capped account and they're scared of using the internet. I think they've recently been upgraded from 1 gig to 3 gig a month. I don't know how they survive on that, but they tell me they don't watch much YouTube, and they're careful about what they download because they're worried about getting capped, which quite frankly is ridiculous. So Telkom, let's hope we see some change on that if you really want to be a market leader and not be seen as the old monopoly incumbent.
But what were their thoughts on fiber, Duncan?
Fiber, yes, sorry, I was going to get to that. So I asked him about, specifically in the light of the i3 Africa plans, which we reported on a few weeks ago. You know, i3 Africa's still talking. There's no actual construction happening yet, but they're talking about rolling out fiber to 2.5 million South African homes in the next 4 to 5 years at a cost of 6 billion rand. They still need to raise financing on that, of course. So, and there's a lot of skepticism in the industry. But I put this to Brian Armstrong, you know, Telkom sitting with this massive legacy copper network, and asked him if Telkom needs to go through a big bang approach to addressing this issue and rolling out fiber to the home on a large scale. And he said, no, they're not going to do that at all. That's not their intention at all. And he thinks there'll still be copper in their network decades from now. He said that they will replace copper with fiber on a piecemeal sort of basis here and there where it makes sense. But they're certainly not going to go for the big bang fiber rollout approach. Which, you know, they've got to look after their shareholders, but and maximize shareholder returns. But, you know, maximizing shareholder returns in the short term may, in fact, reduce shareholder returns in the long term. Maybe what they should be doing is investing in the fiber infrastructure and giving them this real competitive advantage now, rather than waiting for the competitors to come along and do it, and then their copper business is undermined and possibly even destroyed if someone comes and builds a national fiber to the home network.
Well, it sounds like a definite risk. And it honestly sounds like Telkom is not moving forward at all.
They are moving forward in some respects, and they certainly are in making improvements in their business side of things. And I think under Pinky Moholi, while she was running the South Africa division, they've done a lot of work in terms of customer service, although I've seen quite a few complaints recently about ADSL response times. They do seem to have made improvements, you phone the call center now and they answer pretty quickly. But
look, the business side of it as well has got a massive market share and from what I understand is a very good service offering. So fair enough, but you know they need to step up with the infrastructure investment.
Yes,
or be left behind. I mean, you look at competitors, not even direct competitors, people like Vodacom and MTN with their fiber rollout. You know, that could that's going to be primarily used for backhaul. Fair enough, but at some point that kind of fiber is going to go wholesale.
Yeah,
and
of course, stock market analysts take fright when these operators talk about massive increases in their capital expenditure. But then the problem is stock market analysts is they look from half to half. They look to the next set of financial results and, you know, if the next set of profits are going to be down or the dividend is going to come down or there's not going to be a dividend, they'll sell the share. So there's almost the short-termism. And I worry that... and this was certainly the case under when Telkom was controlled by the Americans and the Malaysians. It was an absolute short-termism. It was maximize the profits in this organization and forget about the long-term. I remember an amazing thing that I heard from a very reliable source at Telkom. SBC, which was an investor, the American, now AT&T, investor in Telkom back in the early 2000s, tried to cancel Telkom's plans to build SAT-3 back in the late 90s, I think it was now.
Wow.
They wanted to cancel it because they didn't want this investment going through the income statement and undermining the profit. That's how short-term thinking. And how can you imagine if they hadn't built SAT-3? What a disaster that South African telecoms would be today.
We wouldn't have had internet.
We wouldn't have had the internet. We'd be relying on satellite. So that sort of short-term thinking can be dangerous. I'm not saying that the current telecom management team is being as short-sighted as the Americans were, but... maybe they do need to be a little more risk, or a little less risk averse, rather, to big capital projects. And you know, if I3 Africa does get the funding and is able to build a network, and I know there are a lot of ifs here, it's a big potential threat to their consumer base. And do they want to surrender that to a competitor? I would suggest that they need to perhaps be a little more aggressive in terms of their risk appetite.
Well, I think perhaps when take a step back, where the last time we spoke about Telkom was just after Pinky Moholi was appointed CEO. And I think we also agreed to give them at least 6 months to sort out their strategy. Now, Telkom business is outside of Telkom, and a fiber push would be nice, but obviously Telkom internet would be need to be a part of that. But I think that if we give them the 6 months that they need to develop their strategy, we might hear something different 6 months from now. Perhaps a new uncapped plan, perhaps a faster, harder push in the fiber space. So let's give them some time. Maybe they will turn around.
Yeah. Let's watch that space. Let's give Pinky some time. She's new in the job, although she was running Telkom South Africa. Let's give her a bit of time. Cool. Half an hour's up. I think it's time to call it. And not quite start the weekend. We've still got quite a bit of work to do here. But thanks for listening. And hopefully we'll see some of you at the pub quiz on Tuesday. Really looking forward to that. And I think it's going to be a great evening. So I think it's kickoff at 7 p.m. So please try and be there by 6:30 if you can. Join us for a few drinks and look forward to seeing you there.
Bring your game faces.
Oh, and no Googling. So leave your phones in your pockets, or preferably leave them in your cars.
In your cars.
And Aki will be policing that very closely. Cool. Let's call it there, Candice. Candice Jones, myself, Duncan McLeod. Thanks for listening to this week's show, and we'll chat to you again next week. Bye.